All right, so brother's going to read Proverbs 5, and then we're going to talk about it and kind of, maybe not verse by verse, but pick apart what jumps out at us. Go ahead, Brother Akuo.
All right, so I'll start at verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and would not obey the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray.
No, thanks, brother. So there's a lot there. Proverbs. I love Proverbs. Talk about... I love Proverbs, how there's so much wisdom, and it's like always like kind of, so many times Proverbs is kind of like in your face, is it not? It's like a bucket of water kind of thrown in you sometimes. It is for me when I read it sometimes. I'm like, wow, did it say that? Did it mean that? And it's like, it just cuts across the grain, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's wisdom, so it's very clear, and I like it because it's very clear, and for the most part, it's very clear and very direct.
Yeah. Yeah, attend, verse, my son, attend unto wisdom and bow thine ear to understanding. So I was talking about today when I was street preaching, I was asking people if they have the beginning of wisdom, and that's the fear of the Lord, and nobody had it today. I asked a crowd of probably 500 people as I walked around preaching, and nobody raised their hand and said they feared the Lord. So wisdom comes from fearing the Lord. Proverbs talks about, it's a lot of it's about wisdom, so that's kind of our foundation. And I like that, bow thine ear to understanding. So you can have wisdom, and then there's understanding. What's the difference between the two? What do you
wisdom
think?
Wisdom would be almost what you know, and understanding would be like the discretion and how you apply it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like knowledge too. You got wisdom and you got knowledge. Same thing. Wisdom is like having all the facts. I know all the facts. I know what's going on. And then understanding and knowledge is, how do I apply to walk this out rightly? And if there's a disconnect between those two, it doesn't matter if you have all the wisdom. It doesn't matter if you have all the knowledge and understanding. If you don't put the two together, you still can end up with the wrong answer, can't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's another verse that just popped in my mind. It says something like, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding.
Yeah.
I also found it interesting, like the words it uses, attend unto wisdom, bow thine ear. It's like literally prick up, listen, stretch forth, seek it. It's not just like, oh, sit here and I'm just going to tell you. No, like attend, prick up your ears, be attentive to it. Pay attention, you know, it's kind of like pay attention to this, learn this, it's important. It's not just, oh, we're going to sit back and we're just, yeah, okay. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Kind of the same thing. It's kind of something that you're supposed to have almost like a passion for. It's not passive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's the one thing in English class I always got right. I never liked English, and they give you all the adjectives and all the pronouns and all that stuff. But the one thing I always got right, ready? Verbs. I always knew what that was. Action word. It's an action word. I guess I was a person of action. I like that. It's an action word. I can remember that. Don't ask me what all that other stuff is. Action. So that's what we're to do. And doesn't that sound kind of like prothumia? Readiness of mind to hear and take attentive action to it? From like Acts 17, they heard the word and they tested it to the word of God.
Yeah.
Right. And then he goes on talking about the strange lips of a woman. So he's talking about obviously somebody that you're not married to, somebody that's not your spouse. And he doesn't describe her very well, does he?
No. I just wanted to add real quick, verse 3. And verse 4, I don't know. For me, I draw the conclusion that the strange woman, I think of, because I guess I have revelation on the mind, but I think of like the harlot, the abomination of Babylon in Revelation, where it's like, I envision the church system today. I envision false gospels when I hear the strange woman. It's like because her lips are as honeycomb, her mouth is smoother than oil. So they like to flatter. They like to talk things that get your ears tickled. But her end is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword, which I found really cool because it's like, the Lord will smite thee with the sword of his mouth, he says in Revelation. So her end is going to be as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So the Lord will smite these false gospels, these false church systems with the sword of his mouth. So I just wanted to throw that in there really quick.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a correlation to that, no doubt, because the false church system is known as a harlot and a woman. But I think if you look at the context here, I think it's talking of a real woman here. It's talking of a woman that you may lust after, get involved with. She might seem all that, but her end is not good, and the end won't be good for you, because then it does go on to talk about being with the wife of your youth, if I recall in the later verses here. Verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with thy wife of thy youth. So I think you could look at it that way and later see in context that it is about a false church system. But I think the context here is a literal woman. He's warning a young man. Is this not Solomon warning about his sons, about strange women? Who would know better than that? How many wives did this guy have?
I think 700.
Like 700. And he never found any pleasure in life and everything was vain. Yeah. So he's warning about lusting after a strange woman and her end is going to be bitter. So I get what you're saying, brother. In the context, I think it both applies. But I think if you keep reading it, it's actually talking about a literal woman, don't you think?
It is. I just want to say here, it's probably talking about a literal woman. But I kind of guessed, because actually I was going to ask the question before Brother Akua brought it up. It kind of almost describes, like it could be an archetype because, okay, we understand that adultery is a physical thing, but we also understand there's a spiritual adultery as well.
Yep.
There's spiritual harlotry. And I think the same way, this could almost be spiritual. Like, I know we got to guard against spiritualizing stuff and taking it out of context, but I think it could almost be used to describe like spiritual harlotry and, like I said, a false church. Because if you look at it, some of the things he says, right, like remove that way far from her, come not nigh the door of her house, all those things, her ways are movable and thou canst not know them. Like, it is talking about a literal woman, but I guess the archetype, the way scripture works, would almost actually work when talking about like a false man-made religion.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you could take anything from the Old Testament that is speaking in context about something else, and then if it's sinful, you could apply it to the sinful church system and say it's almost the same way. I think you can do that, especially when, like he said, you get to Revelation, and it's talking about the harlot system. So we know that there's harlot women that actually lure men in, like a Jezebel, and then we know that the harlot system is going to be a false woman, a false church system that's called as a woman. So, yeah, there is correlation to be made. There's no doubt about it.
But it's just interesting.
Yeah, so. It is. It is interesting. And it gives you, well, if you want to look at it that way, you're welcome to. It gives you advice on how to stay away from a physical woman. And then it gives you advice on how to stay from a spiritual false religious system as well.
Yeah. Remove thy way far from her. That's what we ought to do with all sin. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Be a Joseph. Run right out of your coat. Right?
Amen.
Look at 13. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, and not inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. That truth always comes up, doesn't it? You're not walking in the truth. You've neglected the teaching. You're not in sound doctrine.
Amen.
Yeah.
It also, yeah. I find this interesting that he also says, verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction? My heart despised reproof. A lot of people think that because you get away with a sin right now and the consequences don't hit you by the end of the day or slap you in the face when you wake up in the morning, oh, I got away with it.
Yeah.
But hey, your flesh and your body are going to be consumed one day, and you will mourn. If you don't repent of it, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, justice may be slow to some people, but it is going to be justice nonetheless.
Yeah.
And they should praise God. We should all praise God his justice is slow. Otherwise, we'd all be dead. Right?
Yeah, amen. What were you saying, Brother Akul?
Amen. I was just going to ask a question about verse 14. I was always confused about this verse because maybe it's just like the English of the King James, but he says, I have not, like, you mourn at the last, so this is like the last part of your life when your flesh and your body are consumed. You say, how have I hated instruction? Why does that person say, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly? Like, if, like, he wasn't in evil, it's like, I was almost in all evil. Almost. I don't know why they say almost there.
Well, Go ahead, Brother Zellis. Go ahead.
Different translations, when you look it up, it's basically saying, like, I was at the brink of destruction or ruin.
Yeah.
Like, I'm almost in all evil. Like, I'm basically right at the brink of all destruction in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Like, I'm right at the edge of it.
Today, Brother Zellis almost got punched. Right?
Hey. There's a wordly saying, in a miss, an inch is as good as a mile, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what he's saying there. Is he's saying, I'm almost. He wasn't, but he almost was. That make sense, brother?
Okay. So it's about someone that comes to their senses right before their destruction. Is that kind of like a turning at like the last minute? Is that why he's saying almost was in all evil?
Yeah. Well, what does it say? Look at the context. Verse 13. I've not obeyed the voice of teachers, nor inclined my ear to hear them that instructed me. So he's already listening to false teaching or not listening to sound teaching. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. He's in the midst of the congregation and assembly, and he's living in some type of false way, almost all evil. 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. And then what is 18 gives us the context of all of this. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. what he's talking about here, he almost ran with other women. That's what this is all about.
Oh, I see. Okay,
that's what this is all about. It's a young man who's got a wife, and he was almost led astray by the lips of another woman. And he was in the midst of the congregation. I'm in the congregation. I'm supposed to be holy, but I was almost destroyed by in evil by this wicked woman. And what does it say? Drink the waters out of your own cistern. You know what that means in this case? Go have sex with your wife, not with other women.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's
yeah.
literally what he's saying. Don't be running with other women. Go home and enjoy your wife. That's what you got a wife for. Be faithful to her.
But, yeah, another translation might help clarify this for you, Brother Kuo. This is just the wording is a little different, right? I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructions. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation.
Yep.
Yeah. That makes sense?
I see. So he's mourning that. Like why does it say when thy flesh and thy body are consumed?
Which verse is that?
It's verse 11. Why does it say when thy flesh and thy body are consumed? And he's almost in all evil when his flesh and thy and his body's being consumed. It's kind of confused me a little.
Well, I think there's kind of a break. So he's warning about this false woman, and then he's telling you to remove and depart, and then he's telling you the consequences. Basically, you're going to give your honor to others, your years you will be cruel, strangers will get your wealth, your labors will be for strangers, you're going to mourn at last when your flesh is consumed, and you're going to say, oh, I've hated instruction, I've hated reproof, I didn't listen to all of that, and then you're going to be at the brink of ruin in the middle of the assembly. That might even also be a connotation. I'm not sure if this is, correct me if I'm wrong here, if I'm going too far. The congregation and assembly might even be referring to the final judgment. You're going to be right at the edge of ruin then. I'm not sure if I'm taking that wrong.
Yeah, I don't think there's no way to know that for sure, but he's definitely saying that while he's in the midst of the congregation assembly, which is supposed to be the safe place for God's people, he's on the edge of ruin. Why is he on the edge of ruin? He hasn't obeyed the voice. Why? And what is it about? He's been tempted by the lips of another woman. And destruction and utter ruin consumed would be at the end of the day, when you're end of your life, when you're going to be judged before a holy God. That's what he's talking about. And so he's warning you. He starts with wisdom. It's my son. He was warning his son about strange women. Attend unto thy wisdom. Watch out for the lips of strange women, because she might be sweet, but she's going to be bitter as wormwood. I'm paraphrasing. And he's talking about how he didn't take sound counsel, and it almost led to his ruin, even while he's in the midst of the congregation. You could be living in massive sin right while you're in the body of Christ. If you don't take sound doctrine and good counsel and heed teaching, is that not true?
Yeah.
Right?
It kind of clicked in my mind just now when he's talking about, when your flesh and your body are consumed, he's talking about old age.
Yeah, he's talking about judgment to come, your end of your life, when you're going to be judged.
I see. Okay, it's just the English. It's just the English of the kid.
Yeah, the whole context of this, whenever you read a chapter, instead of like looking at one verse to try to understand, read the chapter like we did and then go, what's the context here? It's a man talking to his son about wisdom, warning about a woman that might look good, but you're not taking sound counsel. It's leading you to ruin. You're going to be sorry on the day of judgment when your body's destroyed. And you're going to drink water out of somebody else's cistern. Not good. Drink it from your own cistern. And it goes on to say, go enjoy your wife. Right there in verse 19. Go back to your wife. That's where you need to go. 20. Why will thou, my son, be ravaged with a strange woman, embrace the bosom of a stranger? Why would you do that when you got a wife at home? Makes no sense, does it?
I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
So the whole context, it's about an evil woman trying to seduce a son. That's what it's about. That's what it's all about.
I guess the only note I toss in there is you mentioned something. I know you didn't mean this. I guess want to clarify in case someone's listening to this audio that somebody could be in massive sin in the body. It's only if the body won't know about it, but you could have some massive hidden sin in your life and you could be a hypocrite and a part of the body,
right?
But you'd basically still be at the brink of ruin.
Yeah.
That's just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
That,
yeah. So. That's what we're talking about here. This guy is contemplating being with another woman. That could happen in any man's heart at any time and nobody knows about it.
Yeah.
And he's on the brink of ruin because he hasn't taken sound counsel.
Yeah, he's rejected basically instruction.
Yep.
Interestingly, instruction and doctrine are the same words, just about.
They're oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Translated differently, it's the same word. Yep. So if they don't heed sound doctrine,
right.
Kind of reminds me of that verse in Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. If we don't heed doctrine, if we don't heed instruction, if we don't hear teachings, we're not heeding the word of God, it is going to lead to ruin one way or another.
Amen. Amen. This whole chapter is basically about don't commit adultery. Yep. Use wisdom, take sound doctrine, avoid the strange woman, you got a wife at home, don't commit adultery. And it ends up, you'll die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly shall he go astray if you don't. Because what happens to adulterers?
Judgment.
Yeah, judgment. So that's what the whole context of this chapter is about. And if you keep reading in Proverbs, it keeps going on. Then it says, my son. And then he starts talking about other things and giving him life advice. So it's a father giving a son advice about how to avoid all kinds of trouble. But chapter 7 says the same thing. 6, 7, 5 says the same thing. So 5, 6, and 7, maybe read them all sometime, and that'll give you a kind of a concept of what this father's saying to his son.
I also like verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings.
Yeah.
You think you're going to hide something from God? The wicked says in his heart there is no God. The fool says in his heart there is no God. But the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. God sees everything. And that word pondereth also means he weighs. God basically weighs all his goings. I mean, I kind of think of that section of scripture where I think it was Daniel was the prophet in the writing of the wall. And then basically it meant God has weighed you and found lacking. God's going to weigh all of us. We're all going to stand, so to speak, in the balance. And we're going to be judged according to our works, both that which is good and that which is bad. Because all the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord. God sees everything.
Yeah.
And he judges and he's going to weigh it. I mean, people thinking God's just going to let something slip. I mean, your God is too small.
Yeah. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked. That's not a good thing when you're naked. They're naked. They're wide open. It's revealed. And open unto the eyes of him and whom we have to do. That means we're going to have to deal with God. He sees it all. We're going to have to deal with him. We're not going to get out of it. We're not going to get away from it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And I think in the next verse, talking about, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. I know in Psalms it talks about how the wicked say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us, talking about the righteous. So the wicked think they're held with cords by the righteous, like, oh, God's so restricting. Oh, man, I got to break out of this. But really, they're just breaking themselves into more cords, worse cords that cause death. So it's like, who are you going to be a slave of, I guess, is kind of the question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm just looking at that.
Whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. I mean, for whoever man is overcome with that, is he in bondage? I mean, Peter says that if you're overcome with a sin, you're in bondage to it. You're holding with the cords of his sin. That's an awesome thought, brother. Thanks for bringing that out.
Yeah, well, think about cords, all these archetypes in the Word of God. What happens to the man in the parable of the talents? With the guy that did nothing with what the Lord gave him.
Was he not bound and cast without?
Yeah, what do you bound somebody up with? Cords.
I guess.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And what about the marriage supper where the guy gets invited and he shows up and they said, how'd you get in here without a garment? I think he's also bound and cast into outer darkness. So your sins bind you up. Guess what? What do police do when they come and get a criminal? What do they do to him?
Handcuff.
They bind him. And if he's really rowdy, they bound his legs to his feet. Or excuse me, his hands to his feet. So he can't run, he can't kick, he can't do nothing. So your sin binds you up. That's kind of the archetype. You're going to be bound up in your sin. You're going to be thrown away into outer darkness. So a lot of archetypes in the Word of God.
Yeah, amen. That's a nice thought. Because, yeah, it says about the wicked, bind them hand and feet,
yep,
and cast them out into outer darkness. So basically, their sins are going to tie them up, and they're going to be dragged out into outer darkness with them.
Yeah, think about that. When you're bound up, you are, hand and feet, you're helpless. It's like what they do with, like, some animals and stuff before they slaughter them. They'll tie their legs all the way up. They can't move. They can't budge at all. That's how helpless you're going to be when it comes to judgment. You're not going to be flailing around, running, trying to get away. You're bound. Your sin has bound you. The Lord has found you out. You have no hope, and it's destruction and judgment that's coming for you.
Yeah. But hey, praise God, we don't have to, because he came to set the captives free, and if the Son make you free, we shall be free indeed. Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. And he breaks the cords so that we don't have to be bound, and we are slaves to him, not slaves to sin, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
We're bond slaves to him. I like that. The difference between a slave and a bond slave, we have a choice, don't we?
Yeah, it's when we choose and know we love our master, we want to stay with him.
Yeah, amen.
I also like the way it ends. In the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. We were just talking about folly, weren't we?
Yep.
People, the greatness of their folly just keep going further and further astray, don't they?
Yeah, so you can be great in the kingdom of God and you can be great in your folly. And doesn't it talk about in places in the Old Testament where it says, and great was their fall? It's interesting. You don't want to be great in that, do you?
No.
Great in his folly. Anything else about Proverbs 5? We covered quite a bit.
I'm just rereading it. I think that was pretty much everything that jumped out at me for now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a warning about sin, lust, adultery, using wisdom, taking sound teaching, watching out lest you destroy yourself because of sin, and honoring what God does in the marriage bed, and not being swept away by partaking of things you should not. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Good job, brothers. We'll leave it right there. Proverbs 5. I love the Proverbs. You could get lost in that book and just keep coming out with so much. Can you not?
Yeah. A lot of it, because it's so practical, right?
Yeah. Amen.
There's a lot of practical wisdom there.
It is. And we need that. Wisdom and knowledge applied. Amen.
Amen.